Parshas Vayeshev, and we'll start. We have two pieces from Rav Schwab. I have a feeling we did one of these sheets in past years, one of these pieces in past years, but all right. I don't really remember, so, but you probably will. Well, you might. Well, okay. Okay, Eile Tolos Yaakov Yosef Ben Shva Asre Shana Haya Roet Echav Batzon. He was 17 years old. Unar et b'nei Bilav et b'nei Zilpah Nesheavi. At the beginning of the Parsha, the Torah refers to 17-year-old Yosef as a nar. A nar. Now, nar could just simply mean a lad, a young boy. But he's going to say something else. But Rashi comments, v'hu nar shaya ose maise narut. He acted immaturely. A nar is a pejorative. You know, in Yiddish, it's certainly a pejorative. You know, he's a nar. He's a nar. You say someone's a nar, you don't mean he's a nice young man. He's a nar, he's a fool. He's acting like a child, very immature, right? So Rashi is saying, pardon? Narishkeit. Exactly, very good. Our grammar expert here, David. Okay. So vahu nar shahaya osa maisa narus mitakein besaro umimashmesh be'enav. He was very busy with his hair, very busy fixing his hair and his eyebrows, I guess. Kedei sheye nireh yafeh. V'hatemia mifursemet. I mean, this is a very strange, what's going on here? Eich yitakein. How is it possible she Yosef HaTzadik Bar Hakim v'ziv ekunin shel Yaakov Avinu, who was the Bar Hakim, the youngest son, the favorite son of Yaakov Avinu. How could he do this? V'mashmesh be'enav. V'chein matzinu, by the way, I want to just prove my point, he says, in terms of the usage of the word. Because, you know, we have a rule, the Vilna Gaon, and Reb Tzadik HaKohen, many traditions, the Hasidic tradition, the Vilna Gaon's tradition, there's a rule that the first time that a word is used in the Torah is its essential meaning. It's a very important rule. We've discussed it in the past. For example, katan and gadol. What is the definition of katan and what is the definition of gadol? So you say when at a Brit Milah, the bracha that we give the child is Zeha Katan Gadol Yiyeh. So what does that mean? This little tiny, you know, infant will become 6'3". Is that the bracha we're giving him? Zeha Katan Gadol Yiyeh. So what does Katan and Gadol really mean? So the first time that Katan and Gadol are used are with the sun and the moon, right? That Shnei Amorot HaGdolim. Right, so the sun is the gadol, the me'or ha-gadol is the sun, and the moon is me'or ha-katan. What is the relationship between the sun and the moon? The sun is the mashpia. The sun, the moon's light derives from the sun. So the moon is mushpa, the moon is under the influence of the sun. So gadol is the mashpia, is someone who influences others. Makes his own name, so to speak. A katan is someone who is influenced by others, a child in the home of his parents. So that's the bracha, that's the original meaning of the word katan and gadol. That's the first usage. So we know now when we say that bracha at a bris milah, zeh katan gadol yiyeh, what we mean is this little child who is under the influence of his parents right now should become a gadol, should become a self-sufficient individual with his own direction in life and make his own contribution in life. That's the word. Now, what about nar? So where does Rashi come to say that the word nar is not just, it essentially means it's a pejorative. It doesn't just mean a lad. It means someone who is a nar, who acts immaturely, right? Who acts foolishly. So he brings a case. This is the first usage here. Or this is not the first usage. Last week we had this. This is what he's going to tell us now. He says, for example, v'chein matzinu kishaya b'veit Adonav, right, Hamitzri, shedor shu chazal. Well, first, he's not bringing the proof yet. He's saying that when he was in his master's house, Potiphar's house in in Egypt, Vayihi Yosef Yafet Toar V'Yafet Mari, he was very handsome. Kivan Shiro Atzma Moshe V'Hitchil, that he saw himself, he was a Moshe, he was a ruler, he was a king. Hitchil Ochel V'Shoteh U'Misalsel B'Saro. So he began to wine and dine and have, you know, very proper meals and feasts, and he took care of his hair. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God said to him, Avicha Mitabel, Avicha Mitabel, your father is in mourning for you, right? He doesn't know where you are. Va'ata Misalsel B'Sarecha, and you're playing, you're combing your hair all day. V'chol HaRoa Yishtomeim Al Maisi Yosef Tzadik Yisod Olam. Nazir Echav, and it's really a wonderment. It's hard to understand this. Hachi Efsher Lomar Sheshachach B'Tzaro Shel Aviv V'Hitchil Misalsel B'Tzaro. Is it really possible that Yosef forgot about the pain of his father? He knew his father, he is suffering, not knowing that he's there. Perhaps he's not alive, and he's busy with his physical appearance. So I jumped the gun a little bit. So here he's giving us the original source. V'yesh Lomar, first of all, he's not answering the question yet, but he's giving us the source of the word Na'ar. V'yesh Lomar Shinei B'Shchem Ben Chamor. K'tiv, what does it say by Shechem Ben Chamor, who wanted to marry Dina? V'lo ichar anar la'asod ha'davar. Nothing could hold him back. He was just pushing to get to marry Dina. Ki chafetz v'bat Yaakov. Now I'm confused. Which came first? Shechem or Yosef, right? Shechem did come first, right? So this is the origin, he says. So it says, the Torah refers to him as a nar. Refers to Shechem as a nar. V'zeh binyan av shekavanat tevat nar eno inyan hiutot sa'ir b'shanim. And this is the origin and the lesson that nar does not simply mean a young boy, but shaharehu nichbad mikol beit aviv. The Shechem was a prince. Vakatuv karo nasi haaretz. Rather, he was called the prince of the land, the world. Actually, this is back on Yosef now, I'm sorry. Ela shemore gam al isavlanut v'chisor metinut. But the word nar relates to his lack of his impatience, which is, you know, the sign of a youthfulness, youthful immaturity. In the teenage years, it's being impatient. V'chisorin mitinut. He can't wait. You know, he has to jump in. Kiminig ha'narim. Like children are wont to be. She'ein b'kocham lehitgaber al cheftzam u'chukatam. They cannot hold back. They can't control their passions. Right? U'v'koftzim b'rosh. And they jump to the front. B'li yishuv adat, without forethought. V'hitchashvut hanechon, and the proper, giving the matter the proper thought. U'kidematzinu b'chazal, the rabbis say, yaldut, childishness, haita, that's a pasuk, yaldut haita bi, v'ha'azdi p'nei so-and-so. It's actually not a pasuk, but my yaldus got the better of me, my immaturity got the better of me, that's the nar. Now, what's going on? L'or zeh yuvanu advarm. So now let's understand, why did Yosef do this? What motivated him to do this? V'Yosef yada al yedei chalomot ha'nevuah. Yosef knew through the two dreams that he had, which we're going to see a little later, the two dreams in the Parsha. You know, he dreamt of sheaves of wheat, and the brothers, the sheaves of wheat bowed down to him, that the brothers were bowing down to him, and his wheat sheaf remained tall and strong, and also the cows, and so it was all... his mother and his father and this, bowed down to him, right? Okay. So, Chalomot HaNavua Sha'atid Limloch. He knew that he was destined to rule. V'amru Chazal, and the rabbis tell us in the Talmud, Melech Mistaper B'chol Yom. This is halacha. That, you know, a Kohen is supposed to get a haircut once every 30 days to be presentable for Avodat HaMikdash, for his service in the Beis HaMikdash. A king has to trim his hair every day, right? How much hair is taken off in a day is a minuscule amount, but he has to be perfectly groomed. He's the king. right? Shenemar melech biyofyo techazene necha. You have to see the king in his beauty, in his glory. Ulechein asa maisa narut. And therefore Yosef jumped the gun. That was his mistake. That was his immaturity. But he wasn't, he understood, he was doing the right thing, but it was just too early. Lekayem hamelech biyofyo. He wanted to fulfill this concept of melech biyofyo, that prepare himself because he's going to be a ruler. That was what the dreams indicated to him. Gam biyuto ben shvasre shana, even when he was 17 years old. Velohim teen ad bo azman hamiyuad. And he didn't wait for the appointed time. Ubifrat, specifically, b'shah sherah atzma moshel b'veit sarah tabachim, when he saw that he already was given a position of power in Egypt, which is kind of a prelude to the power he's going to have in the world. The whole world is going to come to Yosef. We see what happens in the next few parshiot. Shahaya mihayoshim rishona b'malchut paro. He was from the royalty of Paro's house. V'kol asher la'adono masur biyado. And this Potiphar, everything in his house, he gave over to Yosef to handle. Chishav, he thought, ki kvar hitchil lehitkayem hanevuah shel hamelucha. He thought that his prophecy of Malchus was already fulfilled in him, and he had to conduct himself as a king. Al kein hitchil lehitnaheg kemelech. Therefore, he began to act like a king. V'silsel b'saro, and therefore he was busy with his hair. That's what it means. V'lo hayachol lehitapek lahamtin ad sheyavo yomo. And he couldn't wait for the appointed time. That was his immaturity, but you see that it was on a much higher madrega of immaturity. Ukeshenikra el paro liftor chalomo. And when we see later on, when he is called to Paro at the end of the Parsha, this is in Shvi, at the end of the Parsha, and he's in jail, and they call him to Paro to interpret the dreams, Hevin, he understood, she'achshav bo ha'et. Now is the time. Now is the moment. Shehigi l'malchut, that he's going to now be restored to kingship and his mission with Klal Yisrael and the world. V'al kein tekef, the Torah says, v'yigaleach v'yichalef simlotav. He shaved, he groomed his hair, and he changed his clothing. L'kayem melech biyofya tichazene necha, that a king should be seen in his glory. So that's the idea of what he did. Okay? Now, let's see the next piece, also from Rav Schwab. V'Yisrael ahavet Yosef mikol banav, ki ben zikunim hu lo, v'asa lo ktonet pasim. Now this is the piece that I think we might have done, but I'm going to add something to it anyway, so it's kedai to see it. We know that Yaakov gave Yosef favorite treatment, and he gave him a ktonet pasim. He gave him a coat of many colors, right? So he quotes here the Medrash. Medrash says, Reish Lakish, B'shem Rebbe Lozer ben Azari, the rabbis teach, Amar, Tzarich Adam, Shelo Lishanat ben min Abanav. One should not treat one child differently than his other children. Shal Yidei, but there are sheets here on that chair in the middle if you'd like to take a sheet. Okay, so Amar, Tzarich Adam, Shelo Lishanat ben mi Banav, Sha'al yidei ktonet pasim sha'asa avinu Yaakov liyosef, because of the coat of many colors that Yaakov gave to Yosef, v'yisnu oto, they hated him. And he says similarly, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, in the Talmud, it says a similar thing. Amar Rava bar Mechasya, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Gurya, Amar Rav, the rabbis teach, la'olam, la'olam, no exceptions. Al yishane adam bino ben abanim. Don't give one child privileged treatment than the other children. Shebishvil mishkal shnei sloim mila. Because for just for a few bucks, a few dollars, a few shkolim, for that extra coat, shenatan Yaakov liyosef, that he gave Yosef, yoter mishar banav, more than his other children, nitkanubo echav. They were jealous of him. The Medrash says they hated him. Here it says they were jealous of him, but the Pasuk says by the two dreams, one dream says that they were jealous of him, the other dream says they hated him, right? There's a reason why jealousy and hatred were both intertwined here, although the order is troubling, because the first dream, it says they hated him, then they the second dream they were jealous. Really, the order, jealousy leads to hatred, right? But okay, we're not going to go there. We've got enough to deal with. This coat of many colors, this privileged treatment that he gave him, this created a domino effect that we eventually went into Egypt, the whole business of what happened to us. So, kavanat omram la'olam, and when the rabbis say la'olam, never, there's no exception. Sha'af shesibat asiyat ha'ketonet pasim ha'ita ki ben zekunim hulo. There was a good reason why Yaakov did this, right? Why did he do it? Ki ben zekunim hulo. Ben zekunim means not just that he was his youngest child, he was ben zekunim, he was ben zakein, he was ben chakim, his chacham, his... He was brilliant. He was destined to be the gadol ador, the leader of the Jewish people, and his brothers were going to learn from him also. V'kol ma shelaman mishem ve'ever, everything that Yaakov learned in the yeshiva of Shem ve'ever, I've talked about that in past years. Yaakov spent extra time in the yeshiva of Shem ve'ever and studied Torah that he did not receive from his father Yitzchak or from his grandfather Avraham. It was the Torah of how to survive in a hostile environment. That's what he learned from Shem Ve'ever. And he gave that over to Yosef, who really needed it if he was going to be the Moshe B'Mitzrayim, right? And he taught it all to him. Lefi shehikir bo shehu chacham gadol yoter me'achav. Because Yaakov recognized that Yosef was head and shoulders above his brothers, and he was destined to be this great spiritual leader, this intellectual leader, the gadol of the time, and he gave it over to him. So that's why he gave him this coat, ba'asot ketonet pasim, asu manhig aleihem, sheyichabdu l'talmud chacham kemot. So they wanted them brothers. He wanted the brothers to honor him, to see that he wore this special garment of royalty. To give him, so there was a reason for it, right? V'akol shem kavod haTorah. It was all because of kavod haTorah, to give honor to Yosef for all the Torah that he learned. Aval pike. That being said, notwithstanding, lo yishaneh liten lo la'ach echad yoter mi l'shar banim. Don't give one child more than the other children. V'zehu, and that's why it says v'yiru echav ki oto ahav aviyem mikol echav. They saw that their brother loved him more. Ulechein, and therefore, vayisnu oto. Therefore, they hated him. Sheets are on this chair. Therefore, they hated him. Kol echav. L'rabot b'nei, by the way, the rabbis say, l'rabot b'nei ashvachot. This included the children of Zilpah and Bilhah, right? Af shehaya nari tam kedirecho hamedrash. The other brothers didn't want to have anything to do with the children of Zilpah and Bilhah because they were from the maidservants. Yosef befriended them. So even though Yosef was the only one who befriended them, right, from the other brothers, even Bnei Zilpah and Bilhah rejected him. Okay, so but really it begs the question. It really begs a number of questions. Number one, this idea is so. Poshet is so obvious that you should not give more attention to one child, to favor one child over the others. Why do we have to learn this from Yaakov and Yosef? What do we have to learn it for? It's such an obvious lesson. Why is the Torah, why are we seeing it here? We're seeing the lesson here. And secondly, why did Yaakov do it? I mean, Yaakov was Yaakov Avinu. I mean, we know this, right? Even without seeing it, right? The Gemara in two places tells us, the Medrash in two places. So why in fact did Yaakov do it? So let me explain with the Rabbeinu Bechaya, which I did not put on the sheet. Concerning the dreams, Rabbeinu Bechaya says there are three reasons for dreams. Number one, he says, Machlo Mishta, what our diet is, depending on what we ate the night before, right? Sometimes, you know, you eat indigestion, but you can also, through what you eat, you have a certain kind of dream, right? Another kind of dream is through your ma'asim, what you did during the day, right? So you usually have a dream, you'll have a dream that depending on what you did, right? So, in fact, and I always like to tell this story, that a friend of mine who was a student of Rav Shlomo Freifeld, right? Rav Shlomo Frey was a great, great mechanech, great person in America, and eventually came, he died in Nebuch of cancer here in Yerushalayim, but he started a yeshiva in the 60s called Shar Yashuv. Shar Yashuv was a great institution because it was an institution for children of the 60s. And he it was a revolutionary yeshiva. He was one of the pioneers of the Baal Tshuva movement. And in fact, even for a time, Bob Dylan was there in Shar Yashuv. He was attracted to Shlomo Freifeld. Unfortunately, you know, he got other attractions, but in any case, he had spent some time there. He was very enamored with the Reb Shlomo. Anyway, so this friend of mine went to Reb Shlomo. He was a student there, and he went to him, and he was shaking. He had a terrible dream, and he had a dream that he killed somebody the night before. Right? He had a dream that he killed somebody. So he went to Reb Shlomo, and he's crying, and he's petrified, and his Rebbe says, "He's, what do I do? What does it mean? What does it mean?" So Rabbi Freifeld leaned over the table and he said to him, "You fool," he says, "you're watching too much television," right? So that's the second kind of dream, right? Of course, he felt better. He realized, you know, that's Rov b'cholamot holchin achar apeh. You know, most dreams, the Gemara says, go after what you talk about, what happened. But there's a third kind of dream that comes from the neshama. It comes from the nefesh. It comes from a person's soul. And that, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, is called a nevuah ktana, a small prophecy. It's not like a regular prophecy, but it's a nevuah ktana. It's a minor prophecy. And that's where interpretations of dreams come in. That's where interpretations of dreams come in. You know, I once heard from my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Ruderman Zatzal, you know, our Rosh Hashiva, that he, you know, when he was in Slobodka in Europe, so when Moshe Mordechai Epstein went away, he would travel for a meeting or something, so he would appoint one of the senior students to be the Rav there, to Paskin Shilas, if anybody had Shilas. People from the city would come in and ask Shilas. So they'd ask on anything. So the Rosh Hashiva once said, "I was pretty good with everything except Poter Chalamot, except interpreting dreams." He says that I wasn't good at the interpretation, because people came in and asked for interpretations of dreams. And it does happen. It does happen. Any rabbi will tell you that in his career as a rabbi, people have come to them to ask about interpretations of dreams, right? Sometimes it's a little bit beyond the pay scale of the rabbi. And if he's smart, he'll sort of encourage them to make an appointment with another kind of professional, right? But there is such a thing as dreams that require interpretation. That's the third category. That's a dream that comes from the nefesh, from the neshama. Now, there's a major difference between a nevuah ktana that comes from the inside the dream and a real nevuah. A real nevuah, a real prophecy that a prophet receives throughout Tanakh, that is absolute. That's going to happen, right? A nevuah is something that will happen. A nevuah ktana, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, is not absolute. It is potentially what could happen. That's the dream that a person has for his neshama. He dreams about something that could happen. It has the potential of happening. So Yosef had these dreams, right? That was a nevuah ktana. He wasn't given a prophecy from God. Bonisham did not give him a prophecy that it's going to happen. He was told what might happen. And Yaakov Avinu also, when the brothers came back at the beginning of the parsha, and they tell him, you know, they tell him what happened, and Yaakov says, well, you know, it could have been this, you know, it could have been that. But then he says, Va'aviv shamar et hadavar. But he didn't discount it. He made, you know, he was dismissive to the brothers of what they told him, right, about Yosef. But he kept, Aviv shamar adavar, because also, then Yaakov functioned with Yosef, because Yaakov also had this nevuah ktana. Yaakov understood that Yosef was potentially destined for greatness. Yosef was potentially destined to be Yosef HaTzadik, who he became, right? Therefore, he gave him the Ketonet Pasi. He wanted to encourage him, wanted to challenge him with his potential. Live up to your potential here. Wear this garment. Make yourself feel like you're important and do something about it. Do something about your potential. And he wanted the brothers also to see this potential. He was hinting to the brothers who were very smart and were tzaddikim, right? And he wanted them to get the right message that Yosef had the potential to become their leader, that they would be depending on him and all of the world and all of Klal Yisrael would be depending on him. Unfortunately, Yosef, as we know, jumped the gun a little bit, and the brothers hated him and were jealous of him because they were convinced that it's a mistake, that he's not meeting up to his potential, and he's failing in the Nevuah Ketana. Remember, the Nevuah Ketana is not absolute, right? It's up to the person. And they felt that he wasn't going to make it. That's why they hated him. That's why they were jealous. They felt it's a wrong choice. It's not going to happen. He's not living up to his expectation and his potential of this Nevuah Ketana. And that explains why Yaakov stretched himself here, right? It was not simply, you know, as we say here, because of the Torah that he learned, he wanted to. It was a whole category of respect that he wanted. He wanted to create the milieu which would allow Yosef to become the great person. So it was a stretch on Yaakov, but that's why he did it. That's why he did it, and the brothers felt otherwise. They wanted it to be, right? And eventually they accepted it, and they did bow down to him, and Yosef did. He grew out of his immaturity, so to speak, and did rise to the occasion, and the Nevuah Ketana did actually actualize, and the brothers did bow down to him, and the brothers did recognize his greatness. Okay, so that's really what happened here. Okay, let's go to the next piece. Actually, I don't know if we're going to get to everything. Let me do the last piece first. Okay, this is from the Vilna Gaon. Vayomru lo echav. Hamloch timloch aleinu. You know, this is after the dreams, right? So here's their rejection of the dreams. Hamloch timloch aleinu. You're going to be melech over us. Im mashol timshol banu. If you rule over us, yivyos sifu od sno oto. And im mashol timshol. If you want to, you can rule over us, right? But at this point, yivyos sifu od sno oto. And they hated him even more, al chalomotav v'al dvarav. So they hated him even more. Now, what's the difference between, they say to him, you know, v'yomer lo echav hamaloch timloch aleinu. You're gonna rule over us. You're gonna be king over us, nothing doing. But mashol timshol, if you want to do that, you know, we can't stop you, but they hated him. So let's see, he dissects this. There's a difference between what he's going to tell us is there's a difference between a melech and a Moshe. Famous Pirush of the Gaon in other places, but he says it here. Hinei bepasuk zeh rabu hadikduk. And there are a lot of things to look at this pasuk. Amnam, he says, I want to focus on one thing. Yesh levaer, we have to explain dichtiv. We have a pasuk that says Lashem hamalucha u'moshel bagoyim. Right? Lashem hamalucha u'moshel bagoyim. If you don't know the pasuk, you know the song. Right? Lashem ha-melucha u'moshel bagoyim. God is the melucha, the kingship, u'moshel bagoyim. So you're the king, u'moshel bagoyim, but for the nations of the world, you're moshel. You rule over them. You're our king, right? You're our king, and moshel bagoyim. So what does that mean? That's David HaMelech in Tehillim, in Psalms, right? What's the difference between melech? He's melech for us. Maybe melech for the whole world, but he's melech for us. Moshel bagoyim, but he's moshel for the nations of the world. Ki melech nikra mishim emanim oto biratzon ha'am. A melech is someone whose appointment comes through the will of the people. A melech is someone that the people want. He's the melech is what the people want. Shekulam mamlichim oto. The people, you know, they accept his kingship. Aleihem. And they accept his dominion. ואילו מושל נקרא מי שמושל בחוזקה על העם. This is someone who with force, you know, rules over people. He's moshel people. You have to listen to me, right? That's the difference between a melech and a moshel. Melech is accepted by the people. Moshel is someone who rules by force. Zeu shamar, and that's why it says in the pasuk, ki lashem hamlucha. God, you're the melucha, haynu she Yisrael, mekabli maleim o malchuto yitborach v'ratzon. Bnei Yisrael accept the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu willingly. Moshel bagoyim, haynu b'chozaka, af shelo b'ratzona. So the nations of the world, they accept it begrudgingly. They accept, they have no choice. Avolatid, but in the future, v'haya Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz. Eventually, God will be melech al kol ha'aretz. Shekol ha'olam yikablu ol malchuto b'ratzon. The entire world will accept his malchus. So now he gets, but let's get back to our pasuk. Let's get back to the brothers now. They say, what? U'kimo ken yesh lefaresh. Now we can explain this pasuk. B'Hashem, behei hatema. This hei hatema, he calls it. The hei is the of astonishment. Ha timloch, ha meloch timloch. When hei is at the beginning of the word, sometimes it's not used as the definite article. It's used like rhetorically. Ha meloch timloch, right? You think you're going to rule over us? Ha meloch timloch. Hamloch timloch aleinu, you're going to rule over us? That can't be. You can't. Melucha, you can't be melech over us by force. Melech means we have to accept you. So hamloch timloch, you're going to be what? You're going to be melech over us? Ki melucha tzricha lihiot b'ritzoneinu. We're not ready to accept you. Right? V'zev vadayeno, and we're not accepting you. Ki anachnu sonim otcha, we hate you. And how would in the world would we accept you? Limnotcha melech aleinu, to appoint you king over us. Bishlema lacherim, maybe for other people, yuchal liot shetimloch aleinu. You want to rule over somebody as a melech? Maybe somebody else will accept you. Avalo aleinu, but we're not interested. We're not ready. We're rejecting you as a king. Hamloch timloch aleinu. That's what we're meant. Then they say imashol, but if you lord over us, imashol, rotzalomar. I mean, what they said, ilu ra'ite b'chalom, you saw in your dream, shetei moshel banu, that you'll be our moshel. Ze yuchal liot asher timshol. That could happen, right? Imashol timshol. If you saw mashol, that you'll be a mashol on us, timshol. That'll work because we can't fight you. Right, if you want to force yourself over us, that we go, you know, afilu banu la'achazman, even us, after time, linkom imenu aval melech iefsha, but you'll never be our melech. Umeachas shesod riat shetiye melech, hu sheker, this is sheker, so that you'll be king. Ki kein masher umeachas shesod raita, that you saw in your dream. So we want to tell you like this. So I want to tell you that both your dreams just don't become a hill of beans, right? Because if one dream is no good, that you're going to be a melech over us, which is absurd and impossible, and you can't be melech over us, because melech means biritzon, with acceptance. So therefore, the second dream of Moshe, that also ain't going to happen. You're not going to be a Moshe. That's what they said. Umeachar shezot. Raita shetia melech, you saw a dream that you're going to be melech. Hu sheker? It's sheker, because you can't. Kein ma sheraita shetia moshel. That which you saw that you'll be a moshel over us, gam zoti sheker. That's also sheker. Al derech midaha leita hanami leita. Just quoting a Talmudic phrase, which means, if this can't be, then this can't be. Both of them cannot be. Okay? Do we have a few minutes for the next piece? Okay. Let's try, we'll do it. Let's go. This is from the Shemi Shmuel, a Hasidic insight. Okay, but just remember from the Gro one important thing, the difference between a melech and a moshe. That's the big chiddush from the Gro, when you come across those terms in psukim. V'hine kama alumoti gam nitzava. So, the Shemi Shmuel quotes the pasuk. He said in his dream, this is the dream again. You know, my, you know, your sheaves, my sheaves, my sheaf rose higher than yours. V'gam nitzava, and it remained standing. My, so there's two things that are being said here, that it was more noble than yours, it was more powerful than yours, but it also was long lasting, was eternal. Nir lefaresh al pimasha amar hamagid hakodesh mikoshin. So he's now quoting one of the great Hasidic masters, the Koshnitsa Magi, and based on a pasuk, mi ya'aleh b'har Hashem, u'mi yakum b'mkom kodesho. The pasuk in Tehillim says, now this is a pasuk we're all familiar with, and usually when I hear this pasuk, I think of Shlomo Carlebach, because he made a beautiful niggun based on this pasuk. Mi ya'aleh b'har Hashem, who will climb up the mountain of Hashem, u'mi yakum b'mkom kodesho, and who will maintain that elevation, who will stay there? Right? Two things are being said here. Right? Shem Shnei Dvarim. Shashfilu Kfar Allah Bahar Hashem. Even if you can reach the mountain top, Mihu Asher Yelo Shama Amida Vikium Shalo Yipol Mimalato. It's one thing to reach a level of spirituality, a high level of spiritual existence, but it's quite another thing to maintain that spirituality. You know, I once heard again from the Rosh Shiva, from Rav Ruderman, that he said, we say in L'David Hashem Ori, you know, between Elul, from Elul to Simchas Shmini Atzeres, so we say, it's the pasuk I always say, Ulevakir Behechalo. What does it say? L'hagir Babog, Ulevakir Behechalo. What's the beginning of Ulevakir Behechalo? Pardon? Achat Sha'alti Meid Hashem. Toda. Excellent. Achat Sha'alti Meid Hashem. One thing do I ask from Hashem. Va'ota avakesh. And that do I request. Right? Lachzot b'noam Hashem, right, to live in his house forever. So he asked, the Rosh Hashiva asked the question, why does it say Achat Sha'alti Va'ota avakesh? Right? Why does David HaMelech, there's a redundancy here. Achat Sha'alti. I asked one thing, but why is it one thing I ask and one thing I request? And that I request. What's the idea? So he said, it's one thing when a person has a spiritual experience. You have a good davening one morning. Let's say, or Yom Kippur, or dancing on Simchas Torah, whatever it is. You feel really, you've elevated yourself spiritually, right? We've elevated, right? And it's a great feeling. That's Achat Sha'alti, right? That's why that, I want to live by, right? But, you know, what happens a week later, 2 weeks later, 3 months later, right? After Yom Kippur, by Marav already, we're already saying Slach Lanu Avinu Kichatanu because we didn't have the proper Kavon and Shema by Marav, right? So that's the Ota Avakesh, that I should maintain it. It's one thing to reach that level, and it's another thing to maintain it. And I once had a friend who said a beautiful pshat on another pasuk in Tehillim. I say, once had a friend, I still have a friend, he should live and be well. And he said, we say Esa'enai Elahari Me'ayin Yavozri, another Karlbach song, right? But really, David HaMelech. Esa'enai Elahari Me'ayin Yavozri. I lift up my eyes to the mountains from where my help comes. So he asked a question. Why do we say I lift up my eyes to the mountain? Why don't you say I lift up my eyes? We talked this morning about the sun and the moon, to the heavens, to the sky, to Shamayim. Why do I lift up my eyes to the mountain from whence my help comes? My help comes from Hashem. He said a beautiful pshat. He said that David HaMelech in his Chochmah is saying to us, it's attainable. I want to give you a mashal of the Rabbanu Shalom that you can do physically. Everybody can climb a mountain. So I want to tell you that there's a physical reality to spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not just quite literally pie in the sky. David HaMelech doesn't say pie in the sky. It's not spiritual growth and development is actually real growth. It's potentially within our grasp. That's why David HaMelech uses the example of a mountain, right? Esa'ena el ahari, I lift up my eyes to the mountains from where my help comes. Okay, we have to end. I'll just tell you what he says. Okay, the idea here is that Yosef, this is Yosef. Yosef is, in Kabbalistic literature, he's called Chai, right? Whatever that means, I don't know, but he's called Chai. But what it means is essentially, he explains it here, that Yosef is the epitome of fulfilling one's life's potential, right? A person, like the Bali Musar say, that most people are born, everybody is born an individual. Every single baby comes into this world, every single human being comes into this world as an individual. But most people leave this world as a copy of someone else or something else. They don't maintain their individuality. You have to be a great person to maintain that special nature. What is your unique, what is our unique goal? What is our unique calling in life, right? So Yosef was the epitome of someone who fulfilled his calling. That fulfillment, that ability, he says here, if someone does something with all his might, that was Yosef, that's what Yosef did it with everything he did. If you do something with all your might, then that includes your spirituality. Because the body is very limited. Our goof, our physicality is very limited. But if we put all of our effort into something, that means that Kabbalistically, the rabbis are telling us that we're putting into our physical action spirituality. We're putting our neshama. You know, we say the expression, put your neshama into it. Put your soul into it. Put your soul into it. This is quite literally a very important theological concept in Judaism. Putting your soul into physical reality. And if one does something with all his might, he has put his soul into his physical reality. What's the difference between doing something without soul, that something is purely physical? That's climbing the mountain, but you'll fall down. If you climb the mountain with the spirituality, if you put your soul into it, you will maintain that level. That's what Yosef was saying. Hine kama lumotiva gam nitzava. And I'm challenging you, my brothers, to come to me, to bow down to me in the sense that come and learn this lesson. This was Yosef. That's Chai. That's living life. That your physicality is infused with your spirituality, and it's a lasting effect. That the spiritual growth that I have attained is maintained. I attain it, and I maintain it. Yosef is the paradigm of that, and that's what he was trying to tell his brothers. And eventually, they capitulated, and they submitted and surrendered to Yosef's spirituality and grew together with him. Okay. Very good. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you, Mirtz Hashem, next week.